How about the electricity today? All right? Yeah. If you weren't here last week, we had a power outage at the 10:15 service. We went a little old school, a little acoustic. I just yelled a little louder. It was all good. But it was interesting because it was the first Sunday I've ever preached on the devil in three years of our church, and the power went out like in the whole region here, the whole area. So anyway, but it did come back on for the 11:30 service. So we were excited about that. So you never know what's going to happen when you're talking about temptation, right? You never know what those gotcha moments may be. You know, last week we talked about how the enemy is the ultimate airbrusher. He always makes temptation look so much better than it really is. He overpromises and underdelivers in so many different ways. And the reality is that overcoming bad habits and overcoming temptations is a massive struggle. It's very hard. In fact, 98% of all people who make resolutions to change bad habits never do so. Only 2% do. And experts tell us that only 1 out of 20 people that's obese ever loses weight and keeps it off for an entire year. Making changes and overcoming temptation is really, really difficult. And we wouldn't be talking about it this morning if it wasn't such a challenge. But here's what's the most important thing to understand. Is while it is difficult, it is possible. It is possible. And the power of Jesus Christ has given every believer the resources necessary to overcome life's greatest temptations. And today we want to download 3 specific words that I really believe have the ability to change the direction of your life and the temptations that you're facing. So let me invite you to grab that Bible, and you can open to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as well as some notes there in your worship folder. You can follow along with where we're going today. Because we need a strategy to overcome temptation. I mean, we have a strategy to manage our finances, and we have a strategy to handle relationships, and we have a strategy to raise children. But listen, we need a strategy today to overcome temptation. And a strategy will give us the insight and the power that we need to make some of these great decisions and great commitments that God is speaking to us this morning. Now you may wonder, well, what's the big deal about temptation? You know, I mean, like, does it really matter if I choose to give in to temptation, or if I go there or say this or do that? I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, after all, it is the 21st century, right? I mean, come on. And you know, the Bible tells us that there's several reasons why we need to fight temptation in our lives. Number one is there's always consequences when we color outside the lines of God. When we kind of go our own direction, do our own thing, you know, make up our own rules, whatever, there's always consequences that come with that. And listen, some of us in this room are facing some of the consequences of some bad choices that we've made in the past. And you know exactly what I'm saying. But you know what the Bible also says? The Bible also says when we follow God's will and we fight temptation and overcome temptation, that's when we'll be blessed. Because when we follow God's commands and God's teachings, we put ourselves in the position of blessing. So there's not one person here today that doesn't want to receive the blessings of God. And listen, when you fight temptation and you say no to giving in to whatever appealing things may be in front of you that you know are wrong, there will be blessings that come as a result of that. And we need the blessings of God today. It also separates us from God. You know, now it doesn't mean that we can't be a Christian or that God doesn't love us, but it can create this wedge in between us and the Lord when we keep going back and keep committing the same sins and falling into the same traps and going the same direction that we've been going before. So there's a lot of reasons today why we need to overcome temptation. Those are just a couple, but God has a strategy and a plan that's so important for us today. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the apostle gives us these words beginning in verses 12 and 13. If you think you are standing strong, be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. But remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. The Bible begins by saying, number one, be careful. Okay, you want to overcome temptation? You want to take control of that which is taking control of you? Be careful. Notice verse 12 again. If you think you're standing strong, be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. Sometimes it's easy to look around and go, oh, I can't believe she struggles with that. I can't believe he's into that over there. I would never do that. I mean, look how spiritual I am. I love the Lord. I got this long track record. And by the way, I've never been into that before. So, you know, I would never do that. Proverbs says it this way in chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before the fall. If we ever believe we're beyond the realm of temptation or that we could never fall into a certain trap, that's exactly where we're the most vulnerable. You see, the Christian life is one that is filled with humility, but also confidence. Confidence that the power of Christ within us is giving us the strength to say no to temptation, but humility realizing that we are all human beings that are frail and weak. And it's easy to sit around and say, oh, I would never do this, or I would never be involved in that. But listen, in the right scenario, in the right circumstances, I mean, if you lost your job, or your marriage was going south really fast, or you got a bad report from the doctor, or something unforeseen happened in your life, you might be a lot more vulnerable than you think. So as a Christ follower, we're confident in the power of Christ that's within us, but we're also humble enough to realize that we are frail. And listen, that helps us to not have a spirit of judgmentalism when we see people struggling in certain areas, because if it was not for the grace of God in our lives, we could be struggling in the same way. And that's what the apostle begins with in verse 12. He's saying, man, just be careful. Don't keep saying to yourself, I can handle it, or I've never done that before. We all have this gravitational pull towards sin, and we could potentially fall into any scenario. I came from another city before we moved here to start the Edge Church. And in that city, the pastor of the largest church in our city at one time was a really fantastic guy. He was a charismatic leader. He was gifted of God. God used him in a great way. And the church that he had started grew really, 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 really fast. I mean, just exploded, you know, thousands of people now. And to kind of deal with a lot of the stress and all the other stuff going on, he began to drink, you know. And he began to drink a little bit more. And he began to drink a little bit more. And you know what? Over a 10-year period of time, he became a full-blown alcoholic. And he actually had to leave the ministry that God had given to him, and one that was very, very successful in so many ways, because the alcohol just began to control his life. Man, the guy loved the Lord. The guy had a sweet family. The Lord had used him in so many ways, and yet he wasn't careful. And something snuck up behind him that was unforeseen and unexpected. Boom. Who would have ever thought it? And sometimes that's the way temptation is. Sometimes temptation jumps right out in front of us, but sometimes it sneaks up behind us, you know? Kind of becomes that King Kong, you know, that jumps on our back. Oh my goodness, where did that come from? The Bible says be careful. Just be careful. You don't need to go around being afraid, but be careful, be smart, be wise. Pride was the sin of Adam and Eve. Before they ever took of the forbidden fruit, it was their desire to be like God. We want to be like God. Give me some of that, you know? That's where it began. So we need to be humble. And we should always be afraid of temptation, but at the same time, confident in the Lord. Because no one is exempt from the pit of sin. And we need to be careful not to just let a little bit in. Listen, when we begin to let a little bit of compromise and a little bit of temptation into our lives, what inevitably happens? That little bit begins to be a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And now all of a sudden, we have a massive problem. Maybe you can think about your own life today. Maybe you're thinking about compromises that you're making right now. And you may think, I got this all under control, and it's really no big deal, and you know, nobody else even knows about this. But yet, in spite of all that, you could be on a pathway to destruction. The Bible says, be careful. Be careful. Earlier in chapter 10, The apostle challenges the Corinthian church to not let idols rule their lives. What is idolatry? Idolatry is when we put other things in front of our relationship with God. You could fill in the blank. It could be a lot of different things. But when we begin to worship at the altar of this or of that or of something else, there's something that's a greater priority than our relationship with God. The Bible calls that adultery. We have to be careful. That's a temptation. It's a subtle one. It's not one that we normally think of. It may not even be on your top five list, but yet it's a reality. And Paul challenges all the way through here in the 10th chapter, be careful. Be careful. Now notice verse 13, but remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different than what others experience. Now it's easy to think, oh, nobody's been tempted like I've been tempted. And yet the scripture says, oh no. Oh no, we've all been tempted. Listen, millions and millions of people have been down the same path of temptation that you're on right now. And many, many people have said no to the temptation, by the way. You know, we also have this idea where like, man, I was just so tempted. All I could do was just, you know, whatever. And the NIV says seized you. You know, no temptation has seized you. I love that word. It means like taken hostage or, you know, like sucked in. Some temptations are just really foreseeable. We see them coming. Others come up and just seize us out of nowhere. But when we're facing the tidal wave of temptation, the Bible says, be careful. And the enemy wants to isolate us and to make us feel alone and that we're the only people that struggle with this, because if he can do that, then he's got you right where he wants. Right where he wants you. So be careful, the Bible says. Now the Bible goes on and it gives another word today. Not just be careful, but be hopeful. Okay, you got to be hopeful. And listen, if you're going to fight temptation and you're not going to live like everybody else does, you got to be hope-filled. When I wrote this manuscript, I spelled hopeful, H-O-P-E-F-U-L-L, and that's not really good grammar, but it is good theology, because to be hopeful or filled with hope is exactly what we have to do to fight temptation. Because if you don't believe it's possible to overcome temptation, you never will. If you believe, I have done this year after year after year, I keep going in the same circle, and I've said that I wasn't, and now I'm going to, and I, you know, we just give up and get frustrated at a certain point. We don't have any hope. And Paul addresses that with the Corinthian church, and he says, and God is faithful, and he will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand against it. That's a good thing, guys. That's a real good thing, because there is that idea that we have that we just cannot resist temptation. It's just too overwhelming. It's too great. It's too awesome. But the Bible says God is faithful and he will keep us from temptation, from it being so strong that we cannot stand under it. So we can't say, the devil made me do it. You know, it's all his fault. You know, we have to be responsible. We have to say, man, that's on me. And other people have faced it just as much. But listen, when you lose hope, you lose focus, and you won't be able to avoid temptation. And you can live with disappointments, but you can't live without hope. It's kind of like my golf game. My golf game has no hope. I'm really quite comfortable with that right now. But in days gone by, I figured, you know, I need to be a really great pastor, so I need to learn to play golf. And I bought a really nice pair of clubs. I got a golf pro to actually, you know, give me some lessons. And then I had some fantastic golfer friends that were trying to help me. There was no hope. My golf game is terrible. It doesn't matter how much I practice, the ball only comes off the ground about that much, you know? I would have died to be able to hit a ball just even up in the air. I mean, I didn't even care how far it went. Just to hit it up in the air would have been amazing. I don't have any hope. I hate playing golf. Why? Because I don't see myself as a good golfer. Now, one of our members at the early service came up and he said, Ryan, you just need to play with me. And I said, no, that wasn't the point of the message. I'm not hinting for more lessons. Okay? That's painful for me. But if you never see yourself as succeeding, then you never see yourself as a champion and as an overcomer, And yet the power that raised Christ from the dead is living in you. You are an overcomer. You can say no to temptation. You can rise above whatever adversities are before you by the power of Christ. But you have to be filled with hope. And this promise from God is all that we need to know. And God is faithful, and He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up under it. It's kind of like when I was in high school, there was a really, really beautiful girl, and I had this massive crush on her. She was a little older than me. And while I always watched her and, you know, was really intrigued by her and always just would have died to take her on just one date, I never got the courage to ask her out. You know why? Because I never believed she would go. And then all of a sudden I saw her at the homecoming game, and she was sitting by the ugliest guy in our school. And I thought, how did that work? I found out later he was the only guy that was asking. Right? If you don't have hope, you cannot succeed. You have to believe you can overcome temptation. And if you never believe that you will, then you won't. God says, be hopeful. God is faithful. And if you've ever felt overcome by temptation or completely swallowed up, we need to be reminded there is no sin that is too powerful that takes control over us where we cannot say no. And then the scripture goes on and says, it's not just about being hopeful, not just about being careful, but we also need to be watchful. Okay, check this out. We need to be watchful. We need to be watching for the way of escape. And notice this at the end of verse 13, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Fire exits, rope ladders, back doors, windows, whatever it is, we're looking for the way of escape. And this word in the language of the New Testament, the way out, or the way of escape, is an interesting word. It carries with it the imagery of an army that is totally surrounded and is about to be crushed, but finds this narrow passageway out of being surrounded and thus is able to escape. And you know, sometimes when you're running from temptation, there may be a narrow escape. It may not be a big, wide open front door that's paved and is easy to find, but there is the way of escape. There is a way of escape, and that's what we need to be looking for. It may seem that there's no way out and that sin is stronger, but the power that we have in Christ will give us the ability to find the way out. Sometimes we like to super spiritualize this, don't we? You know, we think, oh, the way out. Oh, I got this. So when I get tempted, like the heavens open up, an angelic choir begins to sing the hallelujah chorus, this chariot comes down that's driven by some of the prophets, you know, and it swoops me up and it just, whew, you know, takes me out of there. Man, I wish that overcoming temptation was that spiritual. But you know, the Bible is so practical. The Bible really just speaks about the nitty-gritty details of how we overcome this. And you know what it says? It just says, look for the way of escape. In other words, we ought to be running. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, run away from sexual sins. No other sin is clearly affects the body as this one does, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And notice that first word in verse 18 is the word run. So here's the greatest solution to overcoming temptation. Man, get on your Nike Airs and start moving, right? Running. Get out of there. This is best illustrated in the life of Joseph, the book of Genesis. Joseph, the Bible tells us he was a really hot guy. I mean, he was a good-looking guy. The Bible says he was well-built. He was the envy of so many women. Joseph, hot guy. Potiphar is his boss. The wife of his boss begins to proposition him. The Bible says day after day, Joseph, come lie with me, the Bible says. Joseph's like, no, 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 no. One day she's had enough. She grabs him. And she grabs him with enough intensity that when he runs off, his toga is gone, right? I mean, Joseph is in a loincloth running down the street, man, running from temptation. He got out of there. Man, you want to overcome temptation, do like Joseph. Just start running. Get out of there. Go to a new place, man. Get as far away as you can. In fact, we just need to say, run, Forrest, run, you know, when we get tempted. But sometimes temptation's not just about being in a place. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not environmental. Sometimes it is really spiritual. And James 4:7 says, we should resist the devil and then he'll flee from us. You see, we love to talk about how powerful that the devil is, and he is. And we need to understand that. But he's not more powerful than God. He's not more powerful than the Spirit of God in your life. That's why it's so important for us to make that spiritual connection with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on a cross, he rose from the grave, and he did so in order that we could have new life in him. The moment that we put our faith and our confidence and our trust in him, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God comes into our lives and begins to give us a new nature, a new attitude, a new mindset, a new perspective on life, a new strength, a new vitality. And it's that strength that we want to tap into in the moments of life's greatest temptations. So start running. Be watchful. Look for the way of escape. Don't just stand around and say, well, you know, I just was here in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I didn't know what else to do. I mean, seriously, how many men today in the 21st century, if they're propositioned by a beautiful woman day after day after day, and she even comes and physically tries to grab the man, what are most guys going to do? The devil made me do it, you know? It was her fault, you know? I was overcome with temptation. I mean, what was I supposed to do, right? And Joseph is running, man. He's out of there. We need to learn from his example. We need to be people of character and integrity. I have a friend that became a believer at our last church. He was one of the first guys that I had a chance to lead to the Lord. And he was so excited. You know, new believers are always so much fun to be around because they just have so much enthusiasm. And that was this fella. And he was having some trouble in his career, but he had found a job that seemed to really be going well. It was a good fit for him, and he was really, you know, hitting some goals and feeling great about his work for the first time in a long time. And his marriage was really struggling at the time, really going through a hard time. And a new coworker joined their team, and he just totally connected with her. I mean, they were working together, they were talking, they liked some of the same things, their personalities were complementary. It was just like, whoa, this is kind of scary, freaky, you know, kind of stuff. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, he realized that if he stayed in the same job, he was going with her. And so he made an important decision, and I didn't know about this till several years later. He decided to leave his job because he knew that if he stayed in it, that temptation was going to overcome him. The way of escape was to quit that job. And you know what? He left his job, and he didn't have another job, and he didn't even give a 2-week notice, and he didn't even give an explanation. He just quit and left. But you know what? While he went through some financial hardships, he had his integrity intact, and he followed the Lord, and he served the Lord, and he did whatever he had to do to get out of the situation and to find the way of escape. And I think sometimes we look at the way of escape and we say, well, you know, God, I'll kind of do this or I'll kind of do that. But man, don't ask me to do anything like really serious. And for my friend, he realized the only way out was to quit that job, and to get out of there. I wonder how many of us today are sitting in situations, going through the normal patterns of life. We're just being sucked in deeper and deeper and deeper. And today, God is reminding you and teaching you that, hey, you can overcome temptation. You can win. But you've got to find the way of escape. Start running. I love 80s TV shows. Maybe you guys have seen the reruns, or maybe you watched it when it came out. But did you guys watch MacGyver? Love MacGyver. How about that haircut, man? Is that cool? I know some, don't laugh. Some of the, you guys have that same haircut. You've had it since 1985, and it's looking great. They say if you keep the haircut long enough, you know, it comes back. one of our sixth graders at the early service said she loved this haircut because it says business on the front and party on the back, you know? So, I don't know. But MacGyver was famous for his hair, but he was also famous for his way of escape, wasn't he? One of my favorite episodes, MacGyver, he dismantled a rocket launcher with a paperclip. That is incredible. How could anybody do that? You know, MacGyver's committed to nonviolence. He doesn't have weapons and guns and knives and hand grenades and all that stuff. So he does things kind of in his own way, but he finds the way of escape. Another episode, MacGyver creates a bomb to open a door using a gelatin cold capsule containing sodium metal. That's incredible. By the way, don't try that at home, okay? Be very dangerous. And then in one of his most famous episodes, MacGyver smashes a pair of binoculars and removes the prism, and he deflects a laser, and it blows up the emitter. That's amazing, isn't it? What a high-quality television show that is. But the thing about MacGyver is always finding the way of escape. He's always finding the way out. And that's what God wants your life to be about. God wants you to be the person that says, man, I want to walk in freedom. I want to overcome temptation. You know, I want to do great things for God. I want God to bless my life. I want to have an intimate relationship with God that's not controlled by my own appetites that are out of control. I want to walk in freedom and in power today. That's God's desire for us. And the scripture tells us today, man, be careful. Be careful. Don't be overconfident. Don't need to be afraid all the time. But be confident in the Lord. Be confident and humble at the same time. Be watchful. Be careful. And be ready to see God do amazing things in our lives today as we say no to temptation. Maybe today you'd like to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. Because you know, really, guys, this whole thing begins with our connectivity to Jesus Christ. I mean, apart from Him, the Bible tells us we can do nothing. We need hope. We need strength. We need power today. And maybe you'd like to open your heart to Jesus Christ this morning today. Would you just pray with me this prayer today if you'd like to begin this spiritual journey with Jesus? Just say, Lord, today, please forgive my sins. Lord, please forgive my sins and make me a brand new person. And make me a brand new person. I'm putting my faith in Christ and what He did at the cross so I can have forgiveness and new life in You. And now, Lord, help me to walk with You each day. We pray these things in the wonderful name of the One who gives us life. Amen.